I spoke to Dr. Rosa Phillips, who is the MD at Accenture Consulting Africa. That's because she wrote a piece, rather a report, that looked at the South African jobs market and the impact that digital automation will have. And according to her, with 35% of all jobs in South Africa currently at risk, total digital automation within a mere 7 years could see a country in a crippling effect compounded by a fragile economy. This is what she had to say.
Okay, so first and foremost, what I want to just contextualize for the listeners is the reason why we did this study. The reason why we did this study was not for fear mongering, which unfortunately is part of what we are all struggling with right now. We're all very fearful, but it's to give us some sort of basis on which we can move forward. So we've done the study early in January, and we looked at SAP-SA data, and what we try to understand is, with the advent of digital technologies, what's the impact going to be on South Africans? Which jobs are going to be impacted? Now, the interesting thing is that jobs are not impacted in their entirety. It is activities within the jobs that are impacted. So we looked at all of the job categories that we have currently through SAP-SA in South Africa and tried to understand which of those activities right now that sits within a job can be done by a machine or can only be done by a human. And whether that is a welder, whether it is a bookkeeper, whether it is a doctor, which of the activities in the job? And it's important that we make that distinction, because it's the activities that change, and it's at the activity level that we can learn new skills to make sure that our jobs change and not become redundant. And it's out of that study, from what you are quoting, that 35% of jobs have activities in them where 70% of those activities can already be performed by machines instead of humans, and that translates to 5.7 million jobs.
Rose, there's this conversation that we've been having where a lot of workers are worried about the future of their jobs in cases where we're already seeing automation kick in, especially in the mining industry. That's taken off quite a bit, where mining companies are using automation to get to levels that are too dangerous for human beings to be mining. When you look at all of that and the noise around that debate, is South Africa ready for automation?
So I think there's, and I'm glad that you asked the question that way, because it is important for us as South Africans to solve and debate our job issue, but in context of being technologically innovative. Because we do live in a global village, and it doesn't help us to protect our jobs from technology, because if we do not use technology to be competitive, we are going to lose the opportunity to be even more innovative. So we have to recognize and embrace the fact that technology is going to be part of our lives forever. Mm-hmm. Electricity was technology. Steam engines were technology. The fact that we are able to reach far distances through the railway is through technology. The fact that we left the cave is through technology. Technology will always be part of it. How are we going to use technology to optimize how we do things? New services we're going to come up with, new products that we will develop, new innovations that we come up with, new problems that we will solve. And I think that we absolutely can do that. So I don't want us to think that, oh, the fact that we are now in the mining industry having computers and machines doing work on our behalf is a bad thing. It isn't. Those are dangerous jobs that a machine should do. The question is just, what does that free us to do better? And there are lots that we can do, but we are not preparing ourselves. You ask me the question, are we prepared? We are not prepared. We are not prepared globally. We are not prepared in South Africa. And why do I say that? If you ask executives how much money are they spending in the next 3 to 5 years on training, on learning, on re-educating their workforce for the future, 3%.
Wow. That is absolutely shocking.
It's not sustainable.
That's very interesting. So when you look at the jobs in South Africa that are at risk, I mean, which of those that we should be keeping in mind and, you know, thinking about?
So for the listeners, there's not a single one of us that thinks that can think that our jobs are safe. I make a joke about this, but I say that the only job that is safe is that of a hairdresser, because the hairdresser is a psychologist who cuts hair.
Yeah.
You go to the hairdresser more to talk about your marital problems than you really go to have your hair cut. So that's probably the only one that is safe. Mm. I mean, ultimately, the color of your collar doesn't matter. There are going to be white collar workers that are at risk. There are going to be blue collar workers that are at risk. In fact, the jobs that are at the highest risk, based on the study that we've done, are actually the bookkeepers, the auditors, the administrative staff. Mm. That's about, quite about, I think, 90,000 jobs that are at risk, and that's just in the white collar space, in the services space.
In order to be able to then deal with it and perhaps even recalibrate the economy and see, you know, which workforce is suitable for digital and which one we can, you know, have humans still do it, what are the critical skills that, you know, we need to be implementing now in order for us to, you know, meet that digital transition when it actually happens?
So we did. So it's as part of the study, one doesn't just create fear-mongering, one tries to at least provide solutions.
Yeah.
So we came up with a skill framework that looked at the in-demand skills that are across the world right now and in South Africa. So did a big data study to just to understand what are the skills and what's out there. Looked at various skills frameworks, spoke to experts in neuroscience, and also spoke to experts in the area of workforce development and workforce development and training and educators to understand what are the families, the skills families that we really need. And it was important to do this because our skills challenge is at the level of our children all the way to our elderly and everybody in between, right? 27.7% unemployment is a national statistic that affects all of us. Mm. It affects our youth more than it affects our older people, because the youth level is about 36%, but it does impact all of us. So we have to look at a skills framework that is applicable to everyone. So there's a couple of things that I'd like to raise. First and foremost, we do have to have digital skills, some level of digital fluency, and we call that digital know-how. We also have to change the way we think about the skills that we build as individuals versus our ability to relate to other people. We are now much more networked, and our relationships with people and our ability to talk to others is going to be just as important a skill to be successful in the future. We call that EQ versus IQ. Then there's the skills around creativity. Right now, we need to be able to ask questions just as much as we can solve problems and answer questions. We still teach our children what the answers are. We need to teach our children and our employees to ask more questions and solve problems. That's how we're going to come up with new ideas, new products, new services. There's also the skill that's very important for me, which is the skill called learning to earn. And learning to earn means the ability to be entrepreneurial, the ability to manage your time, the ability to succeed in an interview, to write a CV, to have literally literacy skills, having numeracy skills. That's the ability to earn. And that will get our young people into a new job. It will get our entrepreneurs starting a new business. It will sustain them in their job, and it will also prepare them for new opportunities. Mm. Now, you don't just use each of these skills individually. You use the skills collectively and in different ways, in a dynamic way, to be able to be successful. But at the heart of all of this, is really the skill that we call having a growth mindset, thinking with abundance. Because unfortunately, no one can tell us what the job in 5 to 10 years will be that our kids or even we that are adults already will be doing. Jobs will change. We don't know necessarily to what it will change. So the most important skill we need to teach people is how to be adaptable, how to be resilient, how to be flexible, and how to deal with ambiguity. Combination of those skills, we believe, will stand anybody in good stead.
That's Dr. Rose Phillips, who is the MD at Accenture Consulting Africa.